البيان راديو presents an explanation of كتاب التوحيد from صحيح البخاري presented by شيخ محمد دعار.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه. أما بعد, my dearly respected brothers and sisters, tonight we begin the explanation of the hadith of the Isra and the Mi'raj, which we took in our previous lesson last week. And the hadith of the Isra and the Mi'raj, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has put it in this chapter, which is the chapter of Allah's speech, clearly because in the hadith it mentions the conversation between Allah Azza wa Jal and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's one of the longer ahadith, but Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah put the hadith in this chapter because it is one of the many proofs that prove that Allah Azza wa Jal speaks with a voice that is heard. So regarding the Isra, the meaning of the word Isra is to travel at night. That's what the word Isra in the Arabic language means. And that's why it's translated in English as the night journey, because it took place at night. So the word Isra in the Arabic language means to travel at night. And the correct opinion, my dear brothers and sisters, and there are many opinions regarding the event of the Isra and the Mi'raj, the correct opinion is that it occurred to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once. Because there is an opinion that the Isra and the Mi'raj happened more than once. But the correct opinion is that it only happened once to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so did the Mi'raj when he was in Mecca, and it happened before the Hijrah. It took place before the Hijrah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was awake in the Isra and the Mi'raj, and it was not a dream as some people claimed. It was not a dream. He was awake. And the Isra and the Mi'raj happened to both his body and soul, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It took place roughly 16 months before the Hijrah, roughly a year and a half before the Hijrah to Medina. The hadith begins by stating, as we mentioned last week, three persons came to him. And those persons were malaika. From the three was Jibreel alayhi salam and Mikael. We know that for certain. The third one, there's a khilaf, Allahu a'lam. But there were three angels, and we're certain two of them were the angel Jibreel alayhi salam and the angel Mikael. And the hadith mentions, before the divine inspiration was revealed to him, and one of them said, which of them is here? Is he? Which one of them is he? And that's an indication to show that when those three angels came to take the Prophet ﷺ, he was sleeping amongst some people, because they asked each other, who is he? Which one is he? So the second angel, said he's the best of them. Yani from amongst these ones that are sleeping, he is the best. And when the hadith mentions before the divine inspiration was revealed to him, some of the scholars, they refuted Sharik for this part of the hadith. Sharik is one of the narrators of the hadith from the Tabi'een. As we know, my brothers and sisters, a hadith can have a number of chains of narrators. Shariq is one of the narrators of this hadith. Some of the scholars, they refuted Shariq for this part of the hadith in his narration, where he said before the wahi, before the revelation was revealed to him. And they said that only Shariq mentioned this. Only Shariq mentioned this part, that it occurred before the revelation. Because there's no doubt the Isra and the Mi'raj took place after the wahi. It took place 16 months before the actual hijrah. So the Prophet ﷺ was a messenger of Allah for 9 or 10 years in Mecca, and then the Isra and the Mi'raj happened. And some of the scholars said that the angels came to him twice. And we mentioned this last week. The Malaika came to the Prophet ﷺ twice. Once before the revelation and once during the Isra and the Mi'raj. And the proof that the Isra and the Mi'raj occurred in both body and soul, and the proof that it wasn't a dream, is the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal, He opened Surah Al-Isra, how? سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. The first word in the surah is Subhan. Allah Azza wa Jal glorifying and exalting himself. The scholars said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have said سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده if it was just a simple dream. But Allah Azza wa Jal exalted himself because it was much beyond the dream. It was his body and soul. It was a miracle that he was able to travel the land and then up the seven heavens in the one night. So the ulama used this as proof that it happened to both his body and soul. If it was just a dream, then there will be no need for Allah Azza wa Jal to say Subhan alladhi asra bi abdihi, because we all see dreams. And some of our dreams are very strange. Huh? So what would be the difference? But no, this shows that the Isra and the Mi'raj was both body and soul. Also, from the proof that it was body and soul is the fact that Quraysh opposed the Isra and the Mi'raj so greatly. When Quraysh heard about the Isra and the Mi'raj, they went full blast, starting to say, look what he's saying. So if he was telling them it was just a dream, Quraysh wouldn't care. But they knew that it wasn't just a dream. That's why they tried to attack Rasulullah ﷺ for this miracle. That's another proof that shows it was not a dream. It was both body and soul, and he was awake, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another proof. Some of the Muslims left Islam when they heard about the Isra and the Mi'raj, because they could not comprehend it. Yes. And that's why the Isra and the Mi'raj was considered a test on the Muslims, a test of their faith and Iman, if they will believe or not. Some of them, when they heard it, they said, no, we don't want to be Muslim anymore. So if it was just a dream, it wouldn't have affected them like that. All of this is evidence to show that the Isra and the Mi'raj took place on both his body and his soul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Malaika came down and they said, which one is he? That is proof that he was asleep when they approached him. And he was sleeping amongst people. It's mentioned in some of the narrations that he was sleeping and with him was Hamza radiallahu anhu and Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhum. The hadith then mentions that the last angel said, take the best of them. So from amongst these guys that are sleeping, take the best one. And only that much happened on that night, and he did not see them until they came on another night. And this explains the tashkil previously mentioned regarding Sharik. So Sharik was correct, because this part of the hadith shows that they came once before and then they returned after a long time for the Isra and the Mi'raj. The hadith continues and it says, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw them. His eyes were asleep, but his heart was not. And this is the case with the prophets. His eyes were asleep and his eyes were not. His eyes were asleep and his heart was awake. And that's how the prophets were. And that's from the things that are special to the Anbiya. The eye sleeps, but the heart is awake. And what this means, as the ulama mentioned, is that he is aware of the senses, even when he's asleep, such as pain and hadath, going to the bathroom, and such. It does not mean he physically sees while he's asleep, no. But he's aware of his senses. And that's something Allah gave to the Anbiya. The hadith says, from among them, Jibreel took charge of him, alayhi salam. And Jibreel cut open the part of his body between his throat and the middle of his chest. And Jibreel did this, and he took out his heart and his organs, and he washed them with Zamzam water, and he purified them. And then a gold tray containing a gold bowl full of iman and wisdom was brought, and Jibreel alayhi salam filled his chest and his throat, blood vessels, with it. Jibreel now has opened his chest and he had a gold bowl that was full of iman and hikmah, belief and wisdom. And he filled it inside the Prophet. And then he closed his chest. And it's actually been narrated that the scars of this remained on him and could be seen. Prophet, he had that scar showing of his chest being open. The hadith then says, he then ascended with him to the heaven of the dunya. The heaven of the dunya means the lowest heaven, this one, the first heaven. In this narration, in Bukhari, he didn't mention the part before it regarding the Buraq and him going to Palestine and tying the Buraq, which is the animal that he traveled on. And then we know he entered Masjid al-Aqsa and he led the prayer with the Anbiya behind him. Then from there, he began to ascend. This narration in Bukhari, it just went straight to the Mi'raj. It hasn't spoken about the Isra, which is the traveling to Palestine. And the word Uruj, Isra wa Mi'raj, the word Mi'raj is taken from Uruj, and it means to go up. Okay? And this was from the greatest signs which the mind cannot comprehend its reality. Today, we see how great space is through the technology. Subhanallah. You send something into space and it just keeps going and going and going. And with all the technology, they have not passed the first heaven. with all the technology, they haven't even come close to passing the first heaven. And here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with his body and his soul, with no technology, no space rockets, no spaceships, no nothing, in one night, he travels through seven heavens. Not just the first heaven that we're in, Shabab, the seven, straight through. This shows you the might and the strength of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he traveled through the heavens and he went up in a distance which no one knows except Allah. Yani it's enough, the hadith says, between the first heaven and the second heaven is 500 years. 500 years, Shabab. That's just between the first and the second. You got seven heavens. And the Prophet ﷺ traveled that distance in a period of approximately 12 hours. 12 hours. And then he returned. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal started Surah Al-Isra, Subhanalladhi Asra bi'abdihi laylan, until the end. Because it's amazing. It really is something amazing. And Allah only does tasbih for great things. Allah only does tasbih for great things. He then ascended, the hadith says, he ascended with him to the heaven of the dunya and he knocked on its door. This is Jibreel with an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Traveled with him to the heaven of the dunya and then he knocked on its door. And that shows that the heavens are built and they cannot be passed except through their doors. And the doors of the heavens have gatekeepers from the angels. And when Jibreel alayhi salam knocked, the gatekeepers, they said, who is it? The ulama said, this is proof that the heavens are built in a way where those who are in one heaven cannot see those who are approaching. They can't see because the angels asked, who is it? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He protects each heaven with the malaika. So when they asked, who is it? He said, Jibreel alayhi salam. So they said, and who's with you? He said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they asked, has he been invited? And Jibreel said, yes. So when they asked, who is it? Jibreel said, clearly, it's Jibreel. And subhanallah, the ulama, the way they derive manners from everything, our deen is all manners. From this little point they derive that it's from the manners when you knock on someone's door, you make it clear who it is. Not, tuck, 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 who is it? It's me. Jibreel made it very clear. It's Jibreel. When you knock on someone's door, you let them know who it is. And them asking who is with you and if he was granted permission, that shows the security of these malaika. They're commanded by Allah. No one comes through these heavens except with permission. So when they got the answer, they said, welcome, marhaba, welcome to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the dwellers of the first heaven from the malaika, they became pleased with his arrival. They got happy. So they welcome him and they are pleased to see him because they knew that there will be a prophet who's going to be granted permission to come through the heavens. It's never happened before. So the malaika were excited that that's the one Allah told us is going to give permission to come through the heavens. And the hadith says about the angels, they did not know what Allah will do to the Prophet ﷺ on earth unless Allah informed them. What does this mean? The angels don't know what Allah is going to do to the Prophet ﷺ on earth unless Allah informed them. This shows that the angels do not know the unseen. They only know what Allah teaches them. And they don't know what Allah has sent the Prophet ﷺ with until Allah taught them. And this refutes all those who claim that he was a messenger even to the angels. Because some people did say that. They said Muhammad ﷺ was sent as a messenger to the human, the jinn, and to the angels. We believe he's a messenger to the human and the jinn, not to the angels. And this is dalil, because they don't know what he came with until Allah taught them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith says, he met Adam alayhi salam in the first heaven. And Jibreel said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is your father, give him salam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave salam to Adam, and Adam returned the salam, and he said, welcome to my son, and what a good son you are. And that is the case throughout each heaven. In each heaven, as he was going up with Jibreel alayhi salam, Jibreel was teaching him who the Prophet is and tells him to greet them. He told him, this is Adam, this is Idris, this is Musa, this is Isa, this is Nuh, and this is Ibrahim. And this shows that the Prophet ﷺ doesn't know who they are until Jibreel tells him who they are. Jibreel was teaching him who this is and who that is. And the Anbiya and the Rusul, they were in the heavens according to their greatness. The higher, the greater. The hadith then mentions he saw two flowing rivers while he was in the nearest heaven. And he asked, what are these two rivers, Ya Jibreel? And Jibreel said, these are the sources of the Nile and the Euphrates. Two rivers. Then Jibreel took him around that heaven and he saw another river at the bank, of which there was a palace built of pearls and emerald. He put his hand into the river and found its mud like musk. He asked, what is this, Ya Jibreel? And Jibreel said, this is the Kawthar which your Lord has kept for you. This part of the hadith brought up a point, because it's mentioning that the Prophet ﷺ saw his Kawthar in the first heaven. That's what the hadith is teaching us. And the proof is that the Kawthar is in Jannah, and Jannah is in the seventh heaven. So how did the Prophet ﷺ see his Kawthar in the first heaven when the Kawthar is in Jannah? Good question. Very simple. It's flowing. Flowing from Jannah, but reaching the heavens. And that's why he managed to see it in the first heaven. Its origin is in paradise. In that Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fell asleep and he woke up smiling. One day the Prophet ﷺ was asleep, he woke up with a big smile on his face. So the Sahaba asked him, why are you smiling? He said, a surah was revealed to me. And then he recited, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. And then he asked them, do you know what the Kawthar is? So they said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, it's a river that Allah has given to me in Jannah. The Kawthar is a river which Allah has given to me in Jannah, which has plenty of good. My ummah will go to it on the day of judgment. He said, its cups are as much as the stars. The cups that are at the Kawthar for people to drink from the ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how many cups are there? As much as the stars. That's what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. He said, a servant will be taken away from it. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the Kawthar will see someone from his ummah get pulled away from the Kawthar. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will say, Ya Rab, that's someone from my ummah. Meaning, why is he being taken away from my Kawthar? So then it will be said to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this is the wording of the hadith, you do not know what he innovated after you. And this is a warning against innovation and the innovators. Because the hadith shows that those upon innovation and call to innovation, they will be prevented from the Kawthar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the next life. Then Jibreel ascended with him to the second heaven, and the angels asked the same questions as those in the first heaven. They asked, who is it? Jibreel said, Jibreel. They asked, and who is with you? He said, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They asked, has he been sent for? He said, yes. Then they said, he is welcome. Then Jibreel ascended with the Prophet ﷺ to the third heaven, and they said the same thing. Then he ascended with him to the fourth heaven, and they said the same. And he ascended to the fifth and the sixth, and he ascended to the seventh, and they all said the same. On each heaven, there were prophets whose names he had mentioned, and of whom I remember, this is the narrator of the hadith, he's saying the Prophet ﷺ told us there were prophets in each heaven. From them were names that we remember. And from them were names. And from them I remember Idris on the second heaven. And Harun on the fourth heaven. And another prophet whose name I don't remember, the narrator of the hadith is saying. And that shows you the trustworthiness of the Sahaba who narrate the hadith and their students. If he doesn't remember, it will be mentioned in the hadith, I don't recall. And that shows you the amana of conveying message, conveying the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ. He says, and on the fifth heaven, and Ibrahim in the sixth heaven, and Musa on the seventh heaven. In another narration, he mentioned Isa also, alayhi salam. And he didn't mention their levels. The majority of narrations of this hadith put Musa, alayhi salam, in the sixth heaven and Ibrahim in the seventh. But this narration, subhanallah, had Musa in the seventh. But the vast majority of the narrations had Ibrahim, alayhi salam, in the seventh. But this one had Musa in the seventh because of Allah honoring him with his speech. Regardless if Musa was in the sixth or the seventh, it's high. Yeah? Very high. And that's because of Allah's honor for Musa alayhi salam. Allah honored him with the speech. And that's why Bukhari put this hadith here to show that Allah azza wa jal speaks. Even though the rest of the hadith is also proof, because as we see, Allah speaks to the Prophet ﷺ in the Isra and the Mi'raj also. Musa alayhi salam says to Allah Azza wa Jal, because after the Prophet ﷺ met Musa, what happened to the Prophet ﷺ? Kept going. So Musa asked Allah, what did he say? He said, Ya Rab, I thought no one will be raised above me. I thought no one will be raised above me. Ibn Battal, he said, Musa understood from being chosen to speak to Allah in the dunya, as Allah says, he spoke to Musa, that what was meant by people is all of them. So Musa, because he knew Allah honored him with speech, he thought no one, not even any prophet or messenger, will go above Musa. That's what Musa thought. So when the Prophet ﷺ went higher than Musa, he knew his virtue. He knew that Muhammad ﷺ is greater than him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Jibreel alayhi salam ascended with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a distance above that, the distance of which only Allah knows, the hadith says, until he reached Sidratul Muntaha, the low tree. In a narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then I was raised to a level where I could hear the writing of the pens. Allahu Akbar, the pens of Qadr. Doesn't Allah write everything that happened? He tells the pens to write. But subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ reached a level, he said, where I can hear the sounds of the pens writing. But this is a level that cannot be comprehended. The hadith says, and then Al-Jabbar, Allah Azza wa Jal, approached, and he came closer until he was about two bow lengths or even nearer. Allahu Akbar. The Sheikh says, we have mentioned many proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah which state Allah comes close to his servants, such as the verse, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If my servants ask you about me, tell them, indeed, I am near. For Allah coming near to His servants is a proven attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in another hadith, whoever comes close to me a handspan, I come close to him an arm's length. Allah Azza wa Jal said. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith says, among the things which Allah revealed to him at that moment was 50 prayers on him and his followers in the day and night. Then the Prophet ﷺ descended until he met Musa. So Musa stopped him and asked him, O Muhammad, what did your Lord enjoin upon you? So the Prophet ﷺ replied, he enjoined upon me 50 prayers in the day and night. And this is a dalil for the greatness of the salah. And it shows how important the salah is with Allah. And it's the greatest thing Allah blessed this ummah with, because it is a connection between the servant and his Lord. So the Muslim must look after his salah and take care of it. The salah was the only thing obligated on the Prophet ﷺ while he was in that close position with Allah. And Musa alayhi salam knew that Allah was going to obligate things upon the Prophet ﷺ, and that's why he stopped the Prophet and asked him, what did Allah enjoin upon you? And that shows Musa's love and his care for this ummah. Alayhi salatu wassalam. And we ask Allah to reward the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, because he was a sabab for the numbers being reduced on us. And it's all from the qadr of Allah at the end. But Musa stopped him and he would ask him, what did Allah give you? So when Musa told the Prophet ﷺ, it's too much, go back to Allah and ask him to reduce it, the Prophet ﷺ, from his manners, he turned to Jibreel as if he wanted to consult him about that issue, meaning, should we go back to Allah? So Jibreel told the Prophet ﷺ his opinion, and he said, yes, if you wish. You want to go back? Let's go back. And that's all from the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is the one who inspired Musa to ask the question and to tell him to go back to Allah and to ask Allah to reduce the number So all praise belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. This was all part of Allah's plan. So then Jibreel went back with him to the Jabbar subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a clear proof that Allah is high above his throne. Because the hadith is mentioning he would go down to Jibreel, to Musa, and then he'll go back up to Allah. Another clear proof that shows that Allah is high above his throne, above the heavens. Unlike what the people of innovation have claimed, that Allah has no direction or Allah is everywhere. No. Allah Azza wa Jal is high above his throne, above his creation, as the many proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah prove. And the ones in the heavens are closer to Allah than the ones on earth. And the ones in the seventh heaven are closer to him than those beneath it, and so forth. And this is something from the fitrah of man, that he knows his Lord is above, and no one denies this except the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and everyone who follows their path. So when he went back up, he said, "My Lord, lighten our burden, for my followers cannot handle that." And this is Allah's virtue upon this ummah, where he ordered and commanded, and then he reduced the number out of his rahmah. Allah ordered 50 prayers, that's it. But from his rahmah, even after ordering, he reduced the number. And Musa continued to ask and advising him to go back to Allah. And once again, that shows Musa's love for us and his advice for the ummah. And Bani Israel were obligated even less than that, and they didn't handle it. Then the hadith moves on to the Prophet ﷺ going back to Allah until Allah made the prayers 5. And this part of the hadith, inshaAllah, we will take in our next lesson, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabina Muhammad.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.